You are listening to a sermon by Bill Thiessen, recorded on Sunday, July 10th, 2022, at Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
As I hovered over my life recently, I witnessed numerous borders I had crossed. I began to ponder lessons and insights I'd gained in relation to my current assignment at Point Grey. My life began in a very small rural world of ethnicity. So small. We were just living in a country 1 mile from the village of Blumenthal, Saskatchewan, which was my nearest area of activity. That's where my school was. The school was beautifully named Venice, Venice School. The nearest foreign territory was a town 2 miles away, which was deemed to be enemy territory. That's where the English lived, and that's where the enigmatic Lutherans also lived. We didn't know what they did for their faith. We couldn't tell. Ultimately, over many years, I learned to appreciate the larger world where God resides, the kingdom of God global. And this is what I've benefited from over all the years until this very day. The lectionary reading for this day includes the commonly known parable of the Good Samaritan, which I decided to use as a basis for my meditation. It was prompted in part by the suggestion that I might want to reflect on my life largely in the context of interminable and interdenominational experiences so richly endowed by my work with MCC globally. MCC is church. Jesus' prayer in John 17 reinforces my reflection that those whom you have given me and those who yet will believe will be one. This is also essential to my thoughts. During the course of Jesus' ministry, he crossed borders constantly. His very arrival as the Son of God was a major crossing, entering mankind as a human being, as one of us. Often he met those on the margins or outside the gate of social acceptance, those who did not belong or who did not count. He demonstrated inclusion, belonging, respect, dignity, and meeting those who were despised. He showed no enmity and no contempt. The parable of the Good Samaritan is supremely an example of acceptance and of outreach. This story, along with his encounter with the woman at the well, and other accounts strongly reinforce the extent of his meeting individuals at the border or at the margins or those deemed outcasts. The Good Samaritan story basically demonstrates neighborliness, not who is my neighbor, but rather to whom can I be a neighbor? In a subtle manner, Jesus reverses a question with the scroll keeper, familiar with the law. This question. The Samaritans during Jesus' life on earth were commonly among the most despised of the Jewish people at that time in their history. This is underlined by Jesus' choice of context. The Samaritans had escaped exile to Babylon and had become a people mixed cultural and religious traits, intermarrying and worshiping false gods, and for whom Mount Gerizim, not Jerusalem, was a holy mount. To reiterate, Christ showed no enmity and no contempt. He gave Samaria and Samaritan people, in addition to other peoples, focal attention, and who often served as the context on many occasions. His engaging the woman at the well asking for water is paramount. Now, how to view borders. That's the point. This is in opposition to the concept of frontiers, which is intended to conquer and to colonize and to possess. Even missions have done this over the years. Borders are the meeting places that offer opportunity for encounter, dialogue, and sharing. They may serve as places of interface between people and individuals, ideas and experiences, and aspects of culture. The biblical witness throughout the scriptures suggests that God is to be found, God is to be found on the border and on the margins and not at the center of power. On the border is where Christ is present, where people in need and who have something in common meet. Wherever people are refusing to accept the limitation of society's borders, that society's borders impose, that's where God is present. Wherever walls of misunderstanding and fear are torn down, he is there. Wherever people are going to the border to take part in multi-directional flow of teaching and learning, giving and receiving, changing and being changed, he is there. When borders are thus crossed, spiritual transformation or renewal occurs, and a new reality is brought into being, one which unfortunately is feared by many, those who benefit from impermeable and impenetrable borders, and that includes the churches. In Hebrews 13, we are told to go outside the gate or the camp where Jesus died. And this outside the gate concept relates to various types of peoples whom Jesus encountered. There was the Samaritan type. There were the publicans and sinners type. There were the Zacchaeus type, the leper type, the aliens type, those with mental illnesses, and those not acceptable socially. As we cross borders with Christ, we embody good news. Now, I have a few minutes left. I want to tell a few graphic stories of personal experience and then conclude. One is that when we served in Nigeria, it was during the Civil War, outbreak of the Civil War, the Biafran Civil War. We lived near the border, my wife and I and family, and I once was asked to go to Lagos to pick up our co-workers who were coming back from UK. I chose to go the lesser obstructional route via the enemy territory, Biafra. Fewer checkpoints, I knew that. There could be 19 or 20 in the other way. This could be half as many. So I took this route. To get there, I had to cross no man's land. The width of 12 miles of no man's land. No one traveled, no one, except odd people like me, naive Canadians. I crossed that border. I came to the northern checkpoint. The military police greeted me unusually warmly. And they said, "Sir, we have two men hiding in the bush who need to be rescued. They've come up," I knew that, "come from the north where there had been a massive massacre of 40,000 Igbos. And they had escaped with their lives. So I asked them, will I be safe doing this? They said, "Oh, yes, you will be safe. And the other people at the other border will welcome you warmly." And so I did it. Two men, one older, one younger, who were shaking with fear. I crossed the 12 miles, came to the southern checkpoint, the checkpoint for the enemy territory, military police as well, and they were so very warm. I mean, just almost hugged me. with warmth because I brought home to safety two of their people. And they said, you can, what sure do you want? Anything you want, we'll give you. I said, all I want to do is travel through to Lagos. Oh, he says it'll be safe, carry on. Now, I thought many times, more recently, just now because of this presentation, that no man's land, no man's land. Have you crossed no man's land? I wondered. There are people who can't get across no man's land to safety or to be rescued or to find spiritual renewal. No one will help them across no man's land. A second one has to do with the internment of Japanese people from British Columbia inland. And it's still a current topic, even now in the Vancouver Sun, it was a topic. What to do with that house? What to do with that house that was owned by Japanese people, historic? And now I go back to the days when I began Alberta MCC work. We needed a sign for our office. So I had a fine sign made. It was being painted by Japanese sign painters, Mimura brothers. And so they were not far down the road, and I would look in on them sometimes and just see how they're doing with my sign, our sign. At one time I came in and this man, one brother, was painting the word Christian, which was part of a subtitle, like the motto, MCC, a resource for Christian resource for meeting human need. And he was in the middle of Christian. He dropped the brush and talked to me. He asked me, what do you mean by Christian? Well, I will have said something about the church being a part of it, the life of a Christian. And he said, I can recall him clearly, I'm not that kind of a Christian any longer. I used to be. He named the church in Vancouver, which when that interment occurred, the church had deserted him, the family. So I'm no longer that kind of a Christian. I've heard that often, even recently, friends of mine, I'm no longer that kind of a Christian. The third story I want to refer to is about Brian. Brian came to me in the MCC Alberta office in this military fatigue. Young man, 26 years old, handsome, crew cut, and said, sir, I want to know how I can help MCC as a military officer. I'm a gunner. I'm from a family of military people, but I want to know how can I help MCC. Internationally, he had come back from Guelph, Ontario, after 1 year leave of absence studying international relations. He had been rooming with a Mennonite from BC. His name is Pete. And Pete had been a great influence on him. And they began to study the Bible together through navigators. And then Brian returns to Calgary, and he wants to be of help to this great organization, MCC, as a military officer. Well, we met, we talked. Well, then sometime later, he had given it more thought and came back again to the office, naturally closed, and said he'd like to move out of the military and become a religious man, a pastor, a teacher, in divinity, but it would be a long road. It was for him 6 months of agony to be officially honorably discharged. It was a difficult road. When he got out of the military, during that time, I already had come to British Columbia, and he had gone to Virginia to get his master's in divinity. And after that, he wanted to be a pastor in an MB church. Be pointed. That's what his avenue was. Well, they gave him a space for 1 year to take the place of a person who was on leave of absence in northern Alberta, Dawson Creek. So I happened to know he had come to my home province, BC. So I called and he said, oh, come up north and talk to our church. So I did. And we had this great conversation. The one point that stands out for me about Brian at that point, he was a gifted man, was that I had mentioned this matter of meeting people at the border, I guess, in my sermon. And he said, you know what? There are people in this church who have never even been to the border. Quite upset. Those are my three stories. There are more. But in all of these and many other contexts, God is present. These border crossings also occur on a very personal level for you and me. They are very personal. We have to make our own crossings to meet people at their point of need or my point of need. And that could be any one of many areas of concern. And I, in my view, Point Grey Fellowship is well positioned to do just this, not be bounded by denomination, and carry on, and Zoe already doing it, as a critical border witness. This is my story. And to conclude, I want to just summarize that benefits of border crossings are these, among others. There's interchange. There's dialogue, understanding, and restoration of relationships. There's a sharpening of one's faith. I have been to Iran. I was in Iran just before COVID hit. I spent 15 days in Iran. I realized it sharpened my faith more than most anything I'd done in my recent years. What is my belief? Where do I stand? And then there's the application of my own conviction. When we meet at the border, we are able to apply our convictions. And we're open to change and to renewal. And we're open to invitations and acceptance. And then there's Christ. Christ facing us at the end of the program, at the end of the service, at the border. Christ at the border. Thank you.